Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Your fever is high and the pressure to log in at work is too. But when you finally decide to take care of you, there's Instacart. Just because that one perfect coworker of yours is attending all meetings, camera on while she's sneezing, coughing and aching, doesn't mean you have to do the same. Take it from us. Trying to stay on top of things will only get you further behind. Instead, get everything from tissues and teas to cough suppressants and comforting soups delivered through Instacart in as fast as 30 minutes. If anyone needs anything, they can just redirect their questions to that one perfect coworker of yours.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's anniversary sale with Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases and shop top mattress brands like Stearns and Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
I know that football and free agency are the top stories on this Tuesday night, so don't get me wrong, but it is worth noting as we get closer to Selection Sunday that exactly 4 years ago tonight, we were reacting to March Madness being canceled. You guys remember that? There were games that were in progress in conference tournaments, and they were stopped. They were halted. Teams were sent back to locker rooms. Our friend Jerry Palm has told this story multiple times here on the show. And as we get ready for the start of March Madness, that tournament that we know and love, I can't help thinking about where we were exactly 4 years ago tonight. And it wasn't just March Madness, of course. The NHL had shut down. Major League Baseball had sent its players home from spring training. There were golf tournaments, tennis tournaments that had been called off. Actually, Indian Wells was taking place. It's a tennis tournament in the desert in Palm Springs or near Palm Springs. And it was taking place this week, or was supposed to take place this week 4 years ago. And I remember I have a friend who works for that tennis tournament, and they actually postponed their tournament on Sunday night of that week. So I don't know if you remember the days as they played out. It's crazy that I can actually remember this. But March 11th was a Wednesday. That was when the NBA suspended its operations on a Wednesday night. And then Thursday, going into Selection Sunday, Thursday, March 12th, I was at my home inspection when my phone started blowing up with the news about March Madness being canceled. So that was happening mid-morning. And I remember that Sunday night previously, I saw the news about Indian Wells and texted my friend Brittany, "Whoa, what's happening? What is this about?" And she told me after the fact they got so much criticism and so much backlash for canceling their tournament. But as it turned out, they were just a few days ahead of the curve. March 12th, 2020. March Madness canceled. We took a ton of calls, I remember. And at the time, I was really leery of that move. And the debate raged for months and months. So there's no right or wrong answer. Everyone has their 2020 opinions now based on hindsight. But at the time, it was all happening so fast. The sports world, domino after domino, right on the heels of the NBA. March 12th. I don't know that I'll ever see this mid-March week the same. As long as I work in sports, I won't. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. It was just worth remembering. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Tuesday, free agency finds Derrick Henry a home. I am so happy to hear this, and it's pretty cool that producer Jay suggested this as we were getting off the air 20 hours ago. What about Derrick Henry in Baltimore? Well, what about it? Ravens fans, how do you feel? Ian Rappaport has got the deets on what I consider to be a monster move on Tuesday.
It is a two-year deal worth up to $20 million, $9 million guaranteed for Derrick Henry. Really nice deal for an older running back. And, you know, the fact that the Ravens get the sort of ground-and-pound superstar big-name running back to help in their offense, certainly something Baltimore can celebrate.
Baltimore, are you celebrating? We actually reached out to our friend Rob Long, who works for our Baltimore affiliate, 105.7 The Fan, and does the Big Bad Morning Show. A couple of co-hosts he's got with him, or they've got all together. He's on vacation this week, so we can't get his reaction. But we are going to get a reaction inside the AFC North. And I hope for your reaction. Oh, I don't know why there's a hiccup. That's an untimely hiccup. Forgive me. So whether you're a Ravens fan or maybe you're a fan of the Browns, the Steelers, the Bengals. Bengals are certainly going through some changes. Most importantly, they need Joe Burrow. But we had put a poll up. In fact, it's still live if you would like to check it out on our show Twitter. It's pinned at the top of that account, After Hours CBS, or I'll retweet it now. My Twitter's A-Law Radio. About an hour to go in this poll. This is our NFC South poll. Who is the favorite now in the South Division? Falcons, Buccaneers, Saints, Panthers. Believe it or not, the Panthers have more votes than the Saints. I'll let you go and check it out. If you haven't yet voted, it's still available. Should we go AFC, AFC North? Should we go? I don't know if we'd get a whole lot of traction in the AFC South for anyone other than the Texans right now. People are not very high on the Jaguars after the way they imploded last season. So either AFC North, though it, well, that's one option. Or, Jay, we can go NFC North. But in order to be equitable, should we now go to the American Football Conference?
I'm thinking AFC North.
Okay. Well, you can put it up another poll. We'll have a poll for each day of this free agency. Of course, the Ravens, who had the best defense in the NFL last season, and also have the Super Bowl, not Super Bowl, sorry. Oops, that was mean. I didn't mean it like that. The NFL MVP. Dope. They did not get to the Super Bowl. Oh, that was mean. It wasn't even intentional, I swear. They're missing some pieces, by the way. The whole flap over "you're dead to me" started, well, at least it's been revived, by Tiki Barber and Saquon Barkley in New York. But did you see Lamar Jackson's post about Patrick Queen? "You're dead to me, Patrick Queen." And for some reason, he had a meme of SpongeBob SquarePants. It was pretty funny. He was kind about it, and it was cute. But you're dead to me.
He just showed his butt.
Producer Jay, when you leave the show, actually, which one of us leaves first, me or you?
I don't know. Maybe that's we team it.
That's a question. Yes, when you leave the show, Jay once told me there's no way he would still be here in 5 years.
It's not verbatim.
Okay, I'm paraphrasing. But you did say, I hope not in 5 years. You just admit it and don't lie like you did about the broccoli.
That was about 3 years ago now almost.
No.
Right?
No, we've been just working together for 2.5.
I said almost. Almost three.
Okay, almost three. But either way, that conversation didn't happen like right after we started working together. I would say that was at least 6 months in. Mm. So yeah, 2 years ago, Jay told me, I hope not, when we were talking about 5 years down the road and where he saw his career.
Not accurate.
Are you lying again like you did about the broccoli?
I ate the broccoli.
You ate 2 pieces of broccoli.
I ate more broccoli than I've eaten in one sitting in my entire lifetime.
You guys don't believe. It doesn't matter. It was 2 pieces.
Those were like big sticks of broccoli.
You're so lying. They were just little bites of broccoli.
Foot-long broccoli pieces.
Oh, Lord. Never, ever, ever trust Jay when he tells you that he will take a dare or he will follow through when he loses a bet. Nope. He won't do it.
I'll do it.
No.
I did it. It's done.
It's not done. It was 2 pieces of broccoli. It was supposed to be a bowl of broccoli, and I took it home because
there was a couple scraps left in there.
Oh, my gosh, Jay. Whatever. I mean, people can decide who they believe, me or you, but there's a reason why there was not a bowl of empty broccoli that was shown on social media because the bowl still had broccoli in it. Anyway, I digress. Producer Jay, you'll be dead to me. When you leave here,
oh.
I'm going to use the SpongeBob SquarePants meme just because it's funny. I don't really understand the connection, but it's funny. My nieces love SpongeBob SquarePants.
I love SpongeBob as well. Actually.
They're about the same age as Lamar Jackson. I just didn't realize that would be his thing. So anyway, you could take the poll for the NFC South. A lot of you are leaning toward the Falcons. Not only because of their young pieces on offense. They do have some other veterans too, but they're younger pieces. Plus Raheem Morris, widely respected, getting an opportunity to be a head coach again in a division that's, I would say it's wide open, even though the Buccaneers have won it ever since their Super Bowl season, which was 2020. So they've got 4 consecutive South Division titles. Can the Falcons end that streak? So right now, the Falcons seem like the popular pick. Popular. So then what about the AFC North? Toughest division in football last year. All 4 teams above 500. Without a Joe Burrow who is healthy for the second half of the season, the Bengals were in last place, but they still finished with a record above 500, didn't they? Now I have to go back and look. Now, see, this is going to bother me. Sometimes when it's been a couple months since the football season, I remember things, and then I'm not sure I remember them correctly. Oh, yes, always go with your first answer. Boom! Yeah, the Bengals were 9-8. The 3 other teams in the North all made the playoffs. Steelers had 10 wins, despite their lack of quarterback consistency and really a lack of offense. The Cleveland Browns used 17 quarterbacks and they finished with 11 wins and 4 postseason awards. And the Baltimore Ravens, they were the top seed in the AFC, 13 wins. So good away from home. Of course, when they were home hosting the AFC championship, it didn't go as they hoped. But who is the best team in the AFC North now? Speaking of the Cleveland Browns, it's been a while that Daryl Ryder has joined us here on the show. Looking forward to it. I reached out to him personally on Tuesday. He said he's setting an alarm. I like it. He's from our Cleveland affiliate, 92.3 The Fan. It's not Joe Flacco returning for the Cleveland Browns at their backup QB. I know that does come as a disappointment to a bunch of Browns fans who really wanted Flacco to return. But now you've also got Russell Wilson in the division. I know that really scared a lot of AFC West fans for a while. You've got Derrick Henry in the division. It's been a very active market for the running backs. We talked about them on the show last night. There are still a couple out there. Joe Mixon got traded, which is weird because I thought the Bengals were releasing him, but he ended up getting traded. I really like, just as a side note, what the Texans are doing. They made a lot of moves. They're very aggressive, building on what they did last year. They're the ones who add Danielle Hunter, a force for the Vikings during his time there. $49 million. And how about this? $48 million is guaranteed. Why not just fully guarantee the whole damn thing? Isn't that odd? According to the reports, a two-year $49 million deal with $48 million guaranteed. Isn't that odd? Have you ever heard of anything like that?
That doesn't make any sense.
No, why not just guarantee the whole thing?
Got to make sure they come out on top, maybe.
I guess.
No, I'm kidding. I have no idea. It makes no sense.
$1 million not guaranteed. That's odd. So you've got, this is kind of interesting though, the Texans and the Vikings who are swapping the guys who led them in sacks last season. One man's trash is another man's treasure. And no, I don't mean they're trash. Neither one of these guys are, just the phrase. How you can be done in one place, but some other company, corporation, in this case team, desperately wants you. So Jonathan Greenard, who led the Texans with the sacks last season, 12 and a half, he's now with Minnesota. Meanwhile, Danielle Hunter is with the Texans for guaranteed $48 million. Don't get it wrong. Not 49, but 48. Think about Will Anderson Jr. Will, to his friends and family. He was the defensive rookie of the year, and they're adding Hunter to that mix. Wowzers. And then Joe Mixon. So that's why I brought up the Texans, because I was thinking about running backs. Joe Mixon. I hope I didn't miss it. Aaron Jones with the Minnesota Vikings, which is just so interesting to me. So Minnesota, I think, brings in not just a talented runner, but a great veteran for the locker room. I have no idea what they're going to do in terms of the 2024 season, and we'll wait to see about quarterback. We know they added Sam Darnold to be a veteran, which is odd to think about. But now Aaron Jones, and that's critical. Like the Bears, adding a veteran running back who can be productive and a stabilizing force for a new rookie QB. So I actually think the Vikings upgrade at QB. 29 years old. Most would tell you he's past his prime. And it's just a one-year deal. But good for him. So we've seen a bunch of running backs change teams. Quarterbacks is two, of course, but we still have a few that are available. Anyone want Jimmy Garoppolo? Man, that ship may have sailed for good. Ryan Tannehill, is he done in the NFL? He can't be. If Andy Dalton can still get a job, is Andy Dalton still with the Panthers?
Let me confirm. He was last year.
Right, I know. I don't know the terms of whether or not that was a one-year deal or a two-year deal.
He's still there.
Ryan Tannehill. Anyone? Anyone? Crickets. Once these teams end up filling out their starting spots, some of these teams that are looking for rookies in the draft, I think we could see some of these other grizzled veterans sign. But now largely the intrigue with QBs is at the top of the draft. Wait until you hear what Ian Rappaport says about why the Bears haven't traded Justin Fields yet. I thought this was fascinating intel. We'll get to that coming up. Plus, Nick Saban finally admits the driving force behind his retirement from college football in Alabama. And the commissioner of the PGA Tour, so disingenuous. And I think he's lying through his teeth. I don't know how they trust him. But straight ahead, even as we take your reaction for NFL free agency day two, and there is plenty to talk about, we've got to cap the story that we were so into last week. We had Matt the Musher on to talk about some of the unusual, well, I mean, not so unusual, but some of the headlines, unusual headlines coming out of the Iditarod. We got a whole rundown about what's supposed to happen when a moose gets tangled up with your dogs and has to be put down. And at the time, a 2-hour penalty for not properly gutting the moose like you would a tauntaun. At least that's what we talked about with Matt. Anyway, you all were fascinated by Matt's insight. The Iditarod is over, and we have to update that story since so many of you were into it. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, we've got a new poll retweeting right now. It's also on our show account. Who's the favorite in March to win the AFC North? And you can still take the NFC South poll. And then on our Facebook page, too. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
In the state of Alaska, we're real particular about wanton waste. And if you put a game animal down, you have to do everything you can to preserve the meat.
Good.
And so that's kind of the bones of what might have happened. But you got to get the guts out of the animal. I don't know if you've seen Star Wars, where Luke climbs inside of that beast.
Yeah. The tauntaun. That's
the tauntaun. That's the size of this animal.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Our friend Matt the Musher, and I was in touch with him over the weekend. In fact, checked in with him to find out how his live YouTube broadcast went on Monday toward the end of the Iditarod. So we're talking about the final stages, and since I'm following the Iditarod on Twitter, this is something new for me. I don't think I did it even during his race, or maybe I did and then I unfollowed. But the 2024 champion is the very same man who had to put down a moose early in the race and then took a 2-hour penalty because he did not properly gut or harvest the animal before he took off. Now, Matt said at the time that he joined us last week that was actually a smart move because of where this incident happened. There was a really strong possibility that other teams coming over, I think a rise or a ridge, he said, just the way or the location and the way that the trail turned there, there's a real possibility they would have had crashes, that there would have been dogs mixed up. It could have been a lot worse, he said. So he understands why Dallas took the 2-hour penalty or did not stick around long enough to dispose of the moose. As it turns out, didn't matter. Dallas crossed the finish line at 5:16 p.m. Alaska time with 10 dogs in harness. This is just about 4 hours ago, making history as the only person to win this iconic race 6 times. How about that? And if you were following the Iditarod, or if you were listening to the show, you know that the temperatures turned bitterly cold over the second half of the race. And for that reason, according to Matt, a bunch of different mushers chose to scratch. Even though they were close to the end and were more than halfway through, they chose to scratch because they were worried about their dogs or they felt like the conditions were too tough. And Matt said it's usually the musher who's concerned about the animals, not concerned about himself or herself. But 12 hours ago, so this is before Dallas CV finished, 32 of the original 38 were still on the trail. Talk about stamina. Talk about just mental and physical toughness, not to mention having dogs that are in great shape. So they started in Anchorage. They finished in Nome, 1,000 miles of some of the roughest, but as you can imagine, most beautiful terrain in the country. Congratulations to Dallas Seavey. We just talked about animal encounters, the conditions, the cold, the uncertainty, never knowing what you're going to encounter out there, the dangers, of course. So it took real strength, but also this is his 6th. No one's ever accomplished what Dallas Seavey just did.
We bear down on what can we do right now. And when you look back at 1,000 miles of what these dogs just covered, the challenges they faced, you can't swallow that in one bite. But we can have one good step at a time. We're going to stumble along the way, no doubt. But we're going to pick ourselves up and take another good step. And if you can keep doing that, it leads to something. And, I think the first Iditarod that I won was a super special one. It will always be the most special one to me. I feel like that one proved that we can win the Iditarod. When things go well, we can win the Iditarod. Maybe we need some luck. When we got the second one, it proves it's not a fluke. You know, we're supposed to be here. And then you get to 4. Now you got to win races you shouldn't have won, right? You win all the ones you should win and then a few that you shouldn't. And then 5 in 2021 was super special. I think this one now, number 6, I think these are the ones you have to win. Or to get there, you have to win one that there's no way you should win it, right? And I feel like it's pretty special to me in that way. This one was supposed to be hard.
Well, no doubt it was challenging, but his experience and just understanding his dogs and being able to recover from not just the moose encounter, but a 2-hour penalty. Amazing. We'll have to check in with Matt the Musher at some point after the dust has settled. And of course, Matt himself would like to get back into another Iditarod. So we're always rooting for that. If you didn't ever find him on social, if you check out our Facebook page, not only is Matt active on it, but going back to late last week, he did share the link to I shared the link to his Facebook page. And then he shared the link to the live YouTube channel where he does some broadcasts. So it's good to have him and his insight. And congratulations to Dallas Seavey. 6 Iditarods. That's 6,000 miles in racing wins. Forget all the ones he's raced in which he hasn't won. Thousands and thousands of miles. It is our hump show. That means you get to ask Amy anything. And producer Jay put up a special post on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's where he monitors for your questions, but also on our Facebook page. He's soliciting a special type of question for our next video version of Ask Amy, which we do plan to record on Wednesday afternoon. It's a little easier now with the light sticking around until 7 o'clock. I actually went running, so I have a half marathon in 2.5 weeks. Don't ask me why. And I went running, just a shorter run, only about 1 hour and 10 minutes on Tuesday afternoon. But it was great because up until this past weekend, I had to get out of the house by 4:30 at the latest because I don't run in the dark. I'm not real comfortable with traffic and everything else in the dark and crazy people. And so I had been having to wake up, drink some coffee, and then run, which is not a recipe for success for me anyway. I know it's not morning, but it's my morning. And so it's kind of nice to be a little more leisurely about it. Wake up, follow the free agency news on my phone, check my email, get some coffee, have a snack, get dressed, and then, all right, I suppose I've got a couple of podcasts on my Spotify. I'll get out and run now. And so I left at just before 6 o'clock Eastern time, and I was finishing up around 7:15. Beautiful sunset, really pretty, glowing pink sky. And that was at 7:15. Nice.
When do we get to, how long does it take before we're like still light out at 8 o'clock? Do we get into, because I know by the summertime it's like 9, but when do we get like, you
not
know, closer
quite
to
9.
8?
It's getting dark by 9, but yeah, no, every day we're adding a couple more minutes. Sunset isn't until 7 o'clock now, so it won't be that long. And that's sunset. That's not how much daylight we have, you know, how late the daylight is. So we still had some daylight in my neighborhood getting close to 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Too bad I'm here already by that point. But yeah.
Right. I actually have determined now that with the weather turning warmer, I need to get outside and every day soak up some of this pre-spring. I guess there's still a chance for winter weather. And it was actually really cold in my neighborhood over the weekend. We had wind chills in the teens over the weekend. Yeah, so it's not
March.
Done yet.
March is exactly. A strange month, always.
I think Colorado's about to get blasted or is getting blasted with more snow, yes. Maybe about to. I would take more snow, but I have to be careful how enthusiastic I am about that because the Hubs is thankful we've had a relatively mild winter.
Yeah, see, again, I like snow if I don't have to drive in it. Oh, that's the part where I don't like.
I don't mind driving it either.
No.
Good New Hampshire girl here. I'm fine.
No, thanks. I have to do it. I've done it plenty. I've done it more times than I want to. No. I have no interest in sliding around and being unable to get up the hill and trying to fit. No.
Why don't you have all-wheel drive?
Because I can't afford all-wheel drive.
Oh, come on, stop it. I have an old vehicle that has all-wheel drive, paid off, and 160,000 miles on it.
I had 140,000 miles on my old car. I got beat up by a box truck. Oh. I had to get another car, and I couldn't get an SUV. I wasn't going to step up to that level, and I needed a car that just could be able to fit all three of my children in it without, you know, causing problems or I'm breaking down at 150,000 miles, so... There you go. That's why I didn't get another. My wife has an SUV. I do not.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, that's the one to use in the snow then.
Yeah. I'm not big on I'll drive your car, you drive mine. Like, you have your car, I got mine.
Really? Well.
You do what you got to do, like I do what I got to do.
Bob doesn't have four-wheel drive on his pickup that he brought from Texas. And actually, we drove through snow on our way back from Texas to New Jersey post-wedding. So when it's crazy rain. I mean, we've had some flooding situations.
A lot of them,
He definitely takes my vehicle. And a lot of times if we're... So we went out to dinner, our first double date on Friday night with a couple. Mm-hmm. And they don't... I mean, his back seat of his pickup, the cab has room, but it's not real comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog sits back there. And so instead, he drove my SUV.
See, that's different if we're together. I've had to do that in a situation where I have to drive, we have to use her car because it's bigger, we have to bring more people. But if I'm just going to go to work, I'm going to take my car. I'm not taking hers. Same thing. If she's going to go somewhere, you're not taking my car. You're going to take your own. Like, that's just how it works. I'm not going to sit here and tell you as to why, because I don't really know. But I just know that that's the mindset for both of us. She would never think to ask to use my car if she's got to go somewhere. I would never think to ask to use hers. You got your car, right?
Well, she obviously has the better option. So, no, of course she's not going to ask to use yours.
Well, I mean, that's kind of goes without saying. I mean, that's done on purpose. I'll take the lesser option at all times. That's fine. I don't mind that.
Except for what happens if you need to drive the three kids around and you want to be in the safest option. If there is weather.
Again, I wouldn't even think of it. You're probably right, but it would never dawn on me. I would pack them into my car and let's go. Mm-hmm. I would try not to drive in bad weather with all, like, where am I going with all three kids? If there's that bad of weather, good chance they don't have school. So there shouldn't be a reason where I'm driving them around in, you know, 8-9 inches of snow. Like, they should be home. So I shouldn't, if it's going to be somebody that's going to be dangerous and driving around like an idiot, it's going to be me alone.
An idiot. Please don't drive like an idiot. I'd like you to stick around. Okay, on Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Also on our Facebook page and our phone number, 855-212-4227. We are delivering on the promises we made to start the week. And if you forgot those, well, I will remind you coming up. And then at the top of the hour, Daryl Ryder from Cleveland.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Henry turns it up to the 15. Henry to the 10. Henry to the 5. Henry to the end zone. That is the king. Touchdown, Titans!
Titans, thank you for the greatest 8 years of my life, the ups and the downs. Y'all been there for everything, through the adversity. Watch me grow as a person and a player, always supporting me. I love y'all. I love seeing the speeches in the stadium. Hopefully I was an inspiration to all the young kids and everybody in the community. Just thank y'all so much. Man, God is good. And tighten up, baby.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I am happy for Derrick Henry. Even as he bid farewell to the Titans after what was his best game of the season in Week 18, remember Mike Vrabel freaked out when somebody asked whether or not they would be mailing it in or if they'd actually be trying to win that game in Week 18. They were facing the Jaguars, weren't they? Didn't they knock the Jaguars out of the playoffs? Yeah. So they absolutely played to win, and Derrick Henry had his best performance of the year. You hear the calls there with Mike Keith on Titans radio, his last touchdown as a member of Tennessee. Now he's got a new home in Baltimore where they are run first, baby. And they'd rather have Derrick Henry rushing than Lamar Jackson. Kind of a funny exchange on the Rich Eisen show. They were thinking about the Ravens backfield.
Pick your poison. Who do you want running at you? Him or Lamar?
Well, Lamar, because he's smaller? Yeah.
Lamar will just make you look dumb, and Derrick Henry might put you in the hospital.
That's the thing. You can get stiff-armed. You can get trucked by Derrick Henry. But he's probably not going to juke you. He's tougher to tackle. He's definitely more of a load. Is he going to juke you out of your shorts? That part I don't know. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything as part of the Hump Show to our show account, also on our Facebook page. And producer Jay is collecting questions of a particular bent. You can check out the post and you can see what he's after. Now we have a lot of our quarterback questions and running back questions that at least fallen into place enough so we can see an incomplete picture of the NFL in 2024. But we kind of understand who's going where and what and when we're talking about veterans. But not the rookies. And we still have a few quarterbacks that don't have homes next year. Ryan Tannehill, Jimmy Garoppolo, Justin Fields. Why haven't the Bears traded Justin Fields? Now, I tend to think it's because no other team is really going to offer a lot of draft capital or anything for him. Why offer assets for a guy that you think is going to be cut by a team anyway? But maybe that's not the case. Ian Rappaport, what the heck is going on in Chicago?
This is not a Justin Fields discussion. This is a Caleb Williams number one overall pick discussion. What the Chicago Bears are committed to doing, and really what they have been committed to doing the entire time, is fully evaluating the quarterbacks who they could take at number one, including Caleb Williams. They were at the combine. They met with him there. They are going to be in full force at Caleb Williams pro day a week from tomorrow. They're going to have him to the facility to visit with him. They're going to do the full evaluation. And at the point when they are then settled on taking Caleb Williams number one, which we expect, but we don't know for sure because this is too important a decision to just go, yeah, okay, we'll take this guy, we'll trade the other guy. Until all that, they're going to do the full evaluation. When they settle on a quarterback that they are taking number one, and I do expect them to take a quarterback at number one, at that point, they will then move to say, where are we going to trade Justin Fields? Might this happen leading up to the draft? Sure, it could. History has shown these trades happen a lot of times leading up, like right before the draft or sometimes during the draft. Josh Rosen got traded literally during the draft when I believe the Cardinals were on the clock in the second round, if I remember correctly. So that's sort of the timeline for these things. But just because they're not actively shopping him doesn't really mean anything as it pertains to Justin Fields.
No, right now, Justin is the least of their worries. They're in the middle of evaluating the young QBs and deciding once and for all what they'll do at the number one overall spot. Doesn't sound like they are trading down. They like to be in a position of strength. 855-212-4227. Our friend Chicago Johnny is in Vegas. So I only have about 90 seconds, Johnny, but how are you?
I'm doing well, Amy. Nice to talk to you again.
You too.
I got one simple question for you.
Okay.
You being a sports journalist, mm-hmm. you cover all sports.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have one sport that is your favorite that you like to talk about most?
Well, my favorite sport is basketball. I love playing it. I coached it. I officiated it. I've done play-by-play for 25 years for basketball. So that's my favorite sport overall. But my favorite sport to cover is the NFL, is football. Because it's so dramatic. It's like reality TV at its finest. There is like literally never a dull moment in the NFL. And people get so excited about it. It's a different level of buzz and electricity and enthusiasm. We can see it on our social. We know in terms of the people who are listening to the radio show, when the NFL is in season, there's nothing like it.
Great. Hey, so are you using your Bob Museum cup for coffee?
It's in the rotation. I actually I think Bob just put it back in the cupboard because we had emptied the dishwasher. So it was in the dishwasher. Now it's back in the cupboard. It's in our rotation. Johnny, thank you so much. We have to let you go. We're at the top of the hour. You too. Always good to hear from you in Las Vegas. On Twitter, After Hours CBS, also on our Facebook page. Coming up, the AFC North is seeing quite a bit of movement. A new starting quarterback, maybe a brand new superstar running back, 30 years old. Still, what about the Cleveland Browns? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
It's like reality television.
Old Man Winter here. If I had it my way, it would stay winter all year long. Short days, wind chill, black ice, and a good polar vortex. Oh, heaven! Wait, is it getting warm in here?
Your cold snap is over, Old Man Winter. Spring has arrived.
Spring.
Spring is here, which means it's the perfect time to get away in the Hyundai you've always wanted. Visit the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, where you can get great deals on all of our award-winning Hyundai models, like the tech-filled Tucson and Kona, as well as the spacious Palisade. Enjoy wherever you go with the peace of mind that comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance. But hurry in. These deals won't last. Add more joy to your journey at the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Now get 0% APR or up to $1,500 bonus cash on the Hyundai Tucson. Now, during the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Offers end soon. Call 562-314-4603 for details.
Celebrate and save at Ashley's Anniversary Sale. With Hot Buys, your choice of colors starting at just $3.99. Ashley Sleep Mattresses starting at $2.50. Plus, receive a free adjustable base with select mattress purchases. And shop top mattress brands like Stearns & Foster, Tempur-Pedic, Purple, and Beautyrest Black with 60-month special financing only at Ashley. Subject to credit approval, no minimum purchase required. Minimum monthly payment, down payment, tax, and delivery may be required. See store for details.
Yeah. For the past 20 years, you've enjoyed the refreshing tropical lime flavor of Mountain Dew Baja Blast. So in celebration of this milestone, we're bringing Baja Blast in stores nationwide. And for a limited time with every purchase of Baja Blast, you can collect coins for a chance to get Baja gear or a Taco Bell deal. 2024 is the year of Baja Blast. In stores now. No purchase necessary. Open to U.S. residents 18+. Subject to official rules at BajaBlast.com and 6/15/24. Void where prohibited.